Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, economist Jonathan Austrey on why strong growth doesn't necessarily mean growth for all.
We've lived through periods very recently of years and years of good economic growth, where the pie was growing year after year, and yet inequality was rising.
While most economists focus on optimizing policies to produce higher economic growth, Jonathan Austrey argues it's how the benefits from that growth are distributed that will ultimately determine whether the growth will last. Austrey is deputy director of the IMF's research department and says the supply-side policies commonly prescribed by economists to increase growth often benefit disproportionately the wealthier segments of society and in the end result in economies that are less resilient. Jonathan Austrey is the author of Growth or Inclusion, featured in the June 2018 edition of Finance and Development magazine.
So what's meant by supply-side policies? And why are international financial institutions such staunch supporters of these types of policies?
So I think the way to think about what supply-side policies are is to think about what demand-side policies are. So if you think of an economy that's mired in recession, people often think, well, we need fiscal and monetary policy, fiscal expansion, and a drop in policy interest rates to boost the economy to get it back to potential. But when the economy's already at potential, what we need is to make the capacity of the economy to grow sustainably over time bigger, greater. And those are supply-side policies. Policies to reduce regulation, to being open to competitive forces, to make efficiency in the economy greater, to make capital and labor move more freely so that the economy can grow well over time. And the reason institutions such as ours think this is important is because sort of the key to sustained growth over long periods of time, not the sort of cyclical ups and downs of the business cycle, the key to sustained growth over time is really making economic efficiency greater and facilitating a better use of labor and capital, which is what supply-side policies are doing. Mm.
But in the article, if I understand it correctly, you're suggesting that these types of policies actually lead to greater inequality. Talk to me about that.
So not necessarily. The policies, really, if you think about it, they're designed to allow market forces to play a bigger role in the economy. When you're removing red tape, when you're opening the economy to foreign labor, foreign capital, foreign technologies, it's allowing market forces freer rein in the economy. It stands to reason that there would be big winners from that, there would be modest winners from that, and there might be some losers from that.
So you suggest that economists generally pay too much attention to growth and not enough attention to the distributional aspects of the economy. But if growth is very strong, do they really need to worry about the distribution? I mean, wouldn't that take care of itself?
You know, I think they do need to worry about the distribution. In other words, it is not going to just take care of itself. I mean, we've lived through periods very recently of years and years of good economic growth, of growth during the Great Moderation, where the pie was growing year after year.
And yet inequality is high.
And yet inequality was rising over this period. So it immediately suggests that this is not a problem that takes care of itself. It has to be a focus of policymakers. Now, if you think it's not going to be a problem, maybe what you're thinking is that someone is going to step in to compensate the losers. And economists often frame policies as saying, well, the pie is getting bigger, so there's more stuff, there's more resources to redistribute to make sure that the losers are left whole. But if that compensation doesn't take place, then the result is higher inequality. So it's a possible outcome rather than a necessary outcome.
And given it's 10 years now since the start of the global financial crisis, and there's been a lot of analysis done as to what led to the crisis, Do you think that inequality had something to do with it?
I actually do think inequality had something to do with this crisis and with many other crises. And I'm not alone in having this view. Some of the preeminent economic thinkers of our time, like Joe Stiglitz, like Raghu Rajan, share this view and have written books about it. My own work tends to suggest that when you look at the factors that enable countries to grow at a healthy pace for long periods of time, there are a whole range of factors that facilitate that process. But one of them is to make sure that inequality does not become excessive. Now, in a capitalist economy, in the kinds of economies in which we live, you can't run those economies in a sort of frame in which there's perfect equality, so that what we call in the parlance of economists, the Gini coefficient, which is a measure of inequality, is zero. So that's perfect equality. Everybody gets the same, whether in income or wealth. And you can't also have such an economy run where there's perfect inequality, where all the resources, where you get everything, whether in income or wealth. That's not going to be sustainable or a possible outcome. So there is, just by that logic between zero and one, there is probably some level of inequality where the capacity of the economy to run in a sustainable way gets jeopardized. And I think what we have seen over and over again, what my own work suggests, is that high levels of inequality can be an impediment to sustained economic growth. It can make economic growth more fragile. It can make it less sustainable. So what really we have done is gather data on episodes of healthy economic growth. And what we're interested in is, if you're growing healthily, let's say you are a healthy person and you go to your doctor and you ask her, what things can I do to prolong my period of good health? And she will tell you, well, there may be good exercise, there may be good diet, there may be sleep, there may be all sorts of things that you can do. So economists can ask similarly about economic growth. Conditional on being in a period of healthy economic growth, how do we prolong that? And there are a whole range of factors, like the things that we talked about at the beginning, those supply-side policies, maximizing the chance that you're using resources efficiently. But one of the factors that stands out in these empirical analyses is that a greater degree of equality, avoiding situations where so much of the GDP or so much wealth accrues to very few people in society, avoiding those kinds of situations are actually highly protective of prolonging periods of healthy economic growth. So greater equality is protective of economic growth. And I think that was a factor behind the end of the period of great moderation, the period that we've just gone through with the global financial crisis, rising inequality in a lot of countries, not just the United States, not just advanced countries, but actually rising national level inequalities across the globe in many, many countries was a factor that brought the period of great moderation of healthy growth to an end.
Hmm. And so to what extent do you think the politics might disrupt efforts to address some of these income distributional issues?
So economic outcomes are a function of political processes, right? The rules of the game are set by politicians, by elected officials in democracies, financial regulation, all of the economic policies, the frameworks under which private transactions take place. So we used to think, and some people may still think, that in democracies, political power is distributed much more evenly than economic power. We all have one vote. We go to the ballot box. And so if distributional outcomes become too skewed, then populations will vote for policies and politicians who will deliver fairer outcomes. But I think one of the things that's given us pause is whether, in fact, that one person, one vote is really the way political systems operate. There is certainly a case that can be made that economic power can control political power and political outcomes. And so I think this is something we do have to worry about. We have to, and politicians need to be wary, I think, of condoning prolonged situations in which outcomes, economic benefits are accruing to the few, to the 1%, to the 0.1%. Not necessarily because there are social or moral reasons to object to very unfair outcomes, which there are, but not everyone feels the same way about that, but because the whole economic model, which has facilitated improved prosperity over years and decades, might itself be threatened if economic outcomes, if who gets what, is very, very unfair. And so you might see a rise of nativist and protectionist type of policies which threaten the kind of sustained prosperity that we've enjoyed in the post-war period. So if you want that model to be restored and sustained, then I think you have to worry about distributional outcomes, even if you don't object to a very skewed income distribution on social or moral grounds.
And in your article, you quote a European politician saying that they know exactly what to do, but they don't know how to get reelected once they've done it, right?
Yeah.
So how do you make these supply-enhancing policies better at distributing the benefits of growth more equally?
Well, I think the first thing is to be aware that the policies will have aggregate effects on the size of the pie and distributional effects. If you are, you know, contemplating a policy like financial deregulation or free trade or opening up to foreign capital, and those policies are being pursued to make the pie bigger, so that's the primary target of the policy, you nevertheless have to be aware that there are going to be winners and losers from the policy. And so you want to ask yourself at the design phase, is there something I can do in the design of this policy to make sure that the outcomes are a little less extreme, that the winners might get a little bit less, the losers might lose a little bit less, but the aggregate effect is broadly the same. The second thing is you're not doing one policy at a time. Governments and central banks and all the economic policymakers are contemplating a variety of different policies, focusing on different areas of the economy and the financial system. And it is quite likely that there will be that winners and losers from each of those individual policies will be different entities in society, different people, different households, different firms. And so I think it's incumbent in designing policy packages that we endeavor to make sure that the winners from all the different policies are not the same people and the losers are not the same people, that winners and losers balance out across the different policies. And finally, I think at the end of the day, we should be less reluctant to engage in redistributive fiscal policies, taxes and transfers, to make sure that those who are most adversely affected by deregulation and opening up to global forces, you take the edge off of that. And you also have kind of trampoline policies that sets those people up to bounce back. So whether it's education or training, retraining, to enable them to bounce back from bad outcomes.
Great. Thanks so much.
Welcome.
Jonathan Austry is Deputy Director of the IMF's Research Department and author of several books and articles on inequality, including his article Growth or Inclusion, featured in the June 2018 edition of Finance and Development magazine. You can find the magazine at imf.org/FND or download the Finance and Development app to read it on your mobile device. Jonathan Austry's new book, entitled Confronting Inequality, which he co-authored with IMF colleagues Prakash Lamgani and Andrew Berg, is published by Columbia University Press. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.